so glad and honored to be here speaking with you this morning and closing out this series that we've been in for the past couple of weeks, that I need a vocation. And maybe we've been in it for a little bit too long for you. Now it's turning into I need a vacation. But I promise you, we're going to wrap it up really well. And I'm hoping that as we do conclude this series, that this really encourages you to go out and live the things that we've been challenging you with every single week. And particularly today, I'm really excited about this message because this is something that hits close to my heart, this idea of joining in God's redemptive plan for this world. And that's not just a pastoral or a worship pastor's job or a tech or a children's pastor's job, but it's all of us, the church, all of you. We are tasked with God's plan to redeem this earth. And I'm really excited to share what I believe that God has put on my heart. But I'm going to go over real quickly the first 3 weeks in case maybe you weren't here or maybe you just kind of forgot. But week one, we looked at this idea that work is not a bad thing, but sometimes we expect it to do something it was never intended to do. I know for most of us, it can be very difficult to look at work as something that is God-given, that's something that is good to show up, because maybe not all of us are in this same place where we enjoy showing up to work and doing whatever tasks that we have to do, but it's not something that was intended to be this all or nothing. It was actually something that we see all the way back in Genesis, that God invites us in to help create with him something that gives us some passion and things that are God-given to us. Week two was kind of my favorite out of the last 3 weeks, was this idea that our calling or our voice isn't something that is attached to our job, meaning that sometimes what we tend to do is who we are, our identity, is sometimes attached to our job. And if we were to lose that position or maybe not get the promotion or get laid off because of things like COVID and some other things outside of that, is sometimes we can lose a sense of who we are, which is very, very dangerous, because God intended for you and I to be so much more than just showing up to a 9-to-5 and doing something every single week. But he gave us a calling and it gave us our voice. And then last week, we learned an idea of resting, of a Sabbath, something that's super important to you and I, and is actually a commandment that we see God give us in the beginning too. This idea that we were not meant to continue to work day after day after day after day, but in actuality, we were supposed to do 6 days of work, show up, work hard, put your energy, passion, and take care of all the responsibilities that you have to do. But then on one day, step away from all those roles, all those responsibilities, and just take a breath. Be reminded that God has things in his control, whether those 6 days were awesome or they fell short. It's a reminder that God took 6 days to create, but then he rested as something that we are supposed to fall into and something that we are supposed to honor and protect. So I hope those 3 weeks were something that was really helpful to you, and no matter where you are at in your work life, whether that's something you love to do and you're passionate about, or it's just something that pays the bills, I really hope that this series has been something that's been encouraging you for you and to you to show up in all those different areas of life the way God intended it for it to be. And this morning, we're going to look through this idea. Am I a little too close, a little too low? Am I good? Okay. Sorry, I just don't want any feedback going on. But this weekend, we're looking through this idea of how going to work helps with God's mission to bring restoration to the world. And I want to ask you this question. Maybe this is something that's been kind of going through your head as we've been talking of this idea of a vocation these past 3 weeks. But surely there is something more beautiful than just showing up day after day to our jobs, right? I always have this idea. I mean, obviously I'm a pastor, so it's very attached to this idea of, hey, there's something more than just showing up and doing the admin side of the pastoral job. Obviously, pastoring is just not always speaking. There are things behind, you know, in the office, at closed doors that happen that isn't the most joyful. There's plenty of things that have to take place in my role and my responsibility that isn't the most passionate thing for me. And I'm sure you guys have similar things in your life, in your work life, that it just doesn't seem as if there's anything that can come out of it. And maybe there's just not beauty, or there's no further purpose than just taking care of X, Y, and Z to make your boss happy, and then you go home and look forward to your life. But I really want to be asking this question and be thinking through, is there something more than just showing up? I feel like there's got to be something more. And then there's this verse in Revelation 21:5 that really, I think, paints this picture of what God intended for us to do as human beings, not only in our work life, but in life in general. And here's what this says, Revelation 21:5. It said, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" And I believe that second sentence there, "write down this, for these words are trustworthy and true," was there on purpose. See, sometimes I think we show up to different areas of our lives and we just see the responsibility in front of us. We just see that thing that we have to take care of, and then we just have to do it. And once it's completed, we can kind of get it off our minds and off our hearts, and then we focus on to the next thing. And of course, there are things that are kind of checkbox-ish, right, that we see go down the list of things that we have to take care of. And for sure, there are some things that can seem like a check in the box. But I really think God intended us to show up to all those things with something more. I really think God intended us to show up with some sort of passion, that we are not just checking off boxes, but we are actually helping God in this redemptive plan that he has for the world, and he's invited you and I to take part in. And I think the best way that you and I can do this is by bringing displays of his goodness and his kingdom into the darkness of this world around us. That you and I are supposed to put on display of all these things that we see in Scripture, of all these things that we read about this redemption and the cross and going out and making disciples and baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I think that you and it says here in Scripture that we are supposed to be the people putting on display the things that we are reading into the world around us. See, there is almost not a day that we wake up and we're not reminded of the darkness that we're living in. And I know it can be a little discouraging. We can read verses like that, and sometimes what happens is we just kind of scan over of the reality of how dark this world can be, and sometimes we don't pay attention to it. And I didn't want to do that this morning, because I do understand it can be very tough to show up in darkness and put on those displays. It can be very, very discouraging to wake up and say, okay, I'm going to go out into the world not knowing what's going to happen today and show up for Christ. It just seems like each and every single day, something new is coming at us. Whether it's something political or there's something that happened on the other side of the world, or it's just like almost every single day we could turn on the news and we're just reminded of this constant darkness. And then maybe we get away from the TV and say, okay, I'm going to go to work, and we're going through emails. And if you have a Yahoo email, it always shoots you the worst news right away. And it's like, oh gosh, I got away from the TV. Now my email is reminding me of the world and all of its darkness. I'm going to put, close out of my email, and I'm going to go on social media and see how many people like my vacation picture from last week, right? And then boom, everyone's stories, again, reminding us of this constant darkness. And sometimes I think that what we do well in the church, we just kind of skip over that reality of how it can be really scary, of how sometimes it can almost seem as if we're fighting a losing fight. But there is something that I heard from one of my favorite pastors that really resonated well with me, that kind of reminded me to be encouraged in this darkness. And he would always say this phrase, is you were made for a time such as this. That you and I, no matter what is going on, how scary it can be and how dark it may seem, we were made for a moment such as this. Meaning that no matter what is going on around you, no matter how scary that can seem, how discouraging, how hopeless, you were literally made for this moment. The people God has surrounded you with and all of their situations, God made you to be in their lives for a purpose. Your own family life, sometimes that can be very difficult. God has made you for a time such as this. And I think that we have to be reminded that God didn't accidentally place you in all these things that you have in your life. God actually ordained for you to be in the middle of those things, to be examples, to display his goodness, to display his kingdom in those dark spots. And scripture tells us over and over again, when we show up in those areas and we are examples of who Christ is, the Holy Spirit will meet us in this moment, those moments, and he'll honor our faithfulness, and he'll show up and he'll work in amazing ways. You were made for a time such as this. And I think the easiest way for us to show this, to display is God's righteousness, is by us just being righteous. In Proverbs 11:10, it says this: when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. The Hebrew word for righteous is tzadikim. Can we all say that together, tzadikim? Okay, now you guys are Hebrew experts. Go out there and just translate every word in Hebrew, because I taught you that one word. But let me go ahead and tell you what it means, because sometimes we hear these things and we have an English understanding of what the term is, but sometimes in its original language, there's such a deeper meaning that I think you and I can take something out of this. But this word tzadikim, it actually translates as the doers of justice. That we were called to be doers of justice. See, the tzadikim are people who see all the blessings they've received not merely for self-enrichment, but we believe that they've been given all of this to steward for a common good. So all the blessings that we have in our life is not something that we just absorb for ourselves and we just hoard and we enjoy and we reap the benefits from those blessings. It's actually something that we are then supposed to go out and share with the world around us. Something that we're supposed to display, going back to that verse I mentioned earlier. And I think the hardest thing sometimes for us to understand is, as doers of justice, we have to be willing to disadvantage ourselves for the common good. And that's really not something our culture tells us. Our culture doesn't tell us to ever disadvantage ourselves. It actually tells us you need to reap all the benefits and put yourself in the best possible situation and position to be successful. But very rarely does it say to go out of your way and put yourself maybe at a disadvantage for the common good. And that could be scary in itself, to put yourself out there, to take a step of faith and maybe not even know, is God going to show up in those moments? In the situations where it's very dark, and I know God has called me to step out and be an example of his goodness, be an example of his righteousness, but man, I just don't know if he's going to meet me. I don't know if he's going to be there for me. I feel as if I might be alone. I might not do very well. Well, the great thing that you and I can take away as encouragement is Jesus Christ himself. When we read the Gospels, it's time and time again we see Jesus do that very thing. See, here's one thing that I love about the Bible that maybe you and I can take courage from, is when God calls us to do something that can be really scary. When God challenges us in a way that we may feel we're not equipped to quite answer the call, we always see that Jesus did it first. We always see that he did it. And that's a great reminder for you and I that we're not alone in this. When he does call us to step out and display his righteousness, display heaven here in this dark world, he always reminds us that I did it first. That I'm calling you to something that I've completed. That I'm calling you to do something that I have put on example first. And you don't have to worry, because I'm not going to be alone. We see Jesus do this all the way to his death. To where even on the cross, as he's hanging there, he's looking down at the people that put him up there. And he's saying, Father, please forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. That is a perfect example of putting yourself out there, even at a disadvantage, to bring the greater good to the common good. The vision says that righteousness must be making remarkably positive transformation in their community, stewarding their prosperity in ways that all people are experiencing flourishing in their lives. That's that idea of, again, of not just hoarding the blessings that God has given us, but generously giving to other people. In Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, we see this story that Jesus kind of calls this original, be a blesser for the things that you have been given. And this is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth. See, we see this idea of God talking about, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to give you things. And we don't see it stop there with a period and then God move on to something else. We see that after he reminds Abram, I will be there with you when you leave the land that you're not used to and all these things. I will be there, but it doesn't stop there. In fact, those blessings that I give you, you in turn are then going to bless others. You are going to show up in those dark areas and say, look at all the things that God has done in my life. I now want to share this with you. The easiest way for us to do this is by our savedness. I know that's not a word, but I like to use this idea. But through our savedness, meaning that most of us in this room, if we've taken that step to believe in Jesus, to make him our Lord and Savior over our life, we've been saved by his sacrifice on the cross. And maybe you're someone that can just look at your life right now and say, I don't really know if I have a lot of blessings to share. Maybe I'm just not in a good spot to just say, here are all the things I can see God showing up. Maybe you're just in a rough season right now. Well, we all have this thing that we've been saved from, and we can immediately say, you know what? Maybe right now I can't count all the blessings that are in my life right now, but there is one thing that I can. It's that we've been saved. We've been saved from so much because of who Jesus was and what he did and who he is today. And from that, that's the biggest blessing that we've ever received. And through that, we should go out into these areas and put on this display. We should put on God's goodness for display. People around us should be seeing his kingdom here, right now, amongst the darkness. In Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 6, it has this idea, and this is one verse I'm going to pull out from it, but it says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city you're in. If it prospers, then you will prosper. So what God did is his people were taken out from their homeland and were put in Babylon, and they were actually not in a good situation. Babylon didn't treat them well. They were almost in an exile from their land. And they're in a place where they go, you know what, God, how can we see any blessing around us? We're right in the middle of this darkness. And right there, what do we see God do? We see him say, hey, just really buckle down in the middle of that. Put some roots and then seek the prosperity in that darkness, in the middle of the place. And then if it prospers, you will prosper. Again, it's this promise that even if you're in the middle of the darkness, that you maybe can't count the blessings that are around you right now, and all you have is your savedness, you can say, you know what, God, I don't have much, but I know I have this, and you've called me to be here in this moment, and I am going to make sure that things prosper around me, so then I too will prosper. It's this idea of working for the good of others is something that still exists no matter the circumstances in our life. Because our work isn't just for our benefit, it's also for the flourishing of the world. Our work isn't just for us, but it's something that exists for the flourishing of the world. And this is one of our values we have here at South Hills, is that we don't wait for others to reach our neighbors. Meaning we don't just sit down and do nothing. We don't come to church on Sundays and get blessed by worship, get blessed by the Word. Hopefully you'll find out afterwards. But get blessed by the Lord and then go out and enjoy community, enjoy some awesome snacks and great coffee and all those things. And then we just go home and then it's another week and we look forward to the next Sunday where it happens again on repeat. That's not the life that we live, and that's not the culture of South Hills. In fact, it's something that we do enjoy, all those things I just mentioned. And then we go back into our neighborhood and say, man, there is something that you need to experience at this place. There is a God that we are worshiping and following, and that's showing up in my life, even in the middle of this dark world. And I am trying my best to show up and show God's righteousness and show a little bit of the kingdom here of the middle of this world. This is something that is our blood and DNA as a South Hills campus. See, this idea of being out in our communities, reaching people, is something Jesus was passionate about in his ministry. You can go in the Gospels, and you always find Jesus not in the synagogue, just hanging out and doing Christian things and church things. We see him take part in that for sure, but most often, what is he doing? He's hanging out with sinners, the people the church didn't welcome, the people that the church saw and said, those people, you don't want to be a part of them because they have nothing going right for them. We need to stick with each other. Jesus did not live that life at all. We see him go out to the people who are hurting, go out to the people who are sick. And he says, man, the church is not a place for healthy people. It's a place for sick to come in. It's a hospital. And that's something that South Hills understands. That's like our main slogan, right? We're the perfect place for imperfect people. And this is something that God has called us to live out. So here are two points that I want to encourage you with. Is bloom where you are planted? Bloom where you are planted. This is verse in Matthew chapter 5, 13. And it's this great idea and kind of this metaphor of us being salt. And it says here, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Recently, I've been watching a lot of cooking shows on Netflix. You're like, wow, way to be really creative. You just took salt and made it literally into an analogy. But I've been watching a lot of cooking shows on Netflix, and I've kind of been like hanging out in this like barbecue area. I would like to consider myself a barbecuer, yet I really don't barbecue. I am waiting to get a smoker, so if the Lord blesses me. I know I mentioned earlier that God blesses me. Maybe that's one of them in there that I'm like, God, he's good, you know. But I've been watching a lot of barbecuing shows, and one thing that I've noticed throughout every show, whether it was a competition or just kind of more of a story of a really awesome person's life, is that they all use salt. And steak alone is really good. Meat has its original flavors. You don't really have to season it. Maybe if you're someone that likes just the flavor from whenever you're eating or cooking. But meat on its own just tastes amazing. Obviously, you have to cook it right. It has to be high quality meat. But meat on its own is just awesome and it's amazing and I love it, right? But all the cooks who know how to cook meat properly, who know how to go to the right markets and get the perfect cut of meat with the right amount of fat to meat ratio and all these things, right? They all still use flavor enhancers because they understand that the salt and the pepper and maybe even some of the garlic they put on there or other things, what it does is it doesn't mask the original taste of that nice piece of beef, right? It enhances it, or maybe even brings out some of the flavors from the meat that wouldn't be there if there was no salt or enhancements put onto it. And Jesus uses the same analogy for you and I, is that this world was made good. We see originally in the creation story that God made everything and he called it good. And of course, sin comes in and breaks that apart. But originally, this earth was good. It had its own flavor and it had its goodness. But then we see that God puts us into the world, not to mask its goodness, but to enhance it. And we see here that God calls us salt, meaning that we're supposed to go in every environment of our life, go into work and say, how can I just make this enhanced? How can I enhance this environment at work? How can I enhance the lives of those around me who maybe don't know Christ and don't know God and don't come to church and don't have a community where they can be welcomed? How can I show up to these different areas of my life and just enhance what's already there? See, Jesus calls us to go into those dark places and just be the salt. Just be the light. And he will work out the rest. See, when we show up at work or any area of our life, we have the chance to enhance that environment. Another thing I want to share with us is share what you have been given. Share what you have been given. Once again, this kind of goes back to this idea that we have been given so much that we're not just called to hoard it for ourselves. We're actually called to bless others through it. We're actually called to share this with other people and say, here is the goodness of my God, and I want you to experience it. There's a story in Luke chapter 12, verse 21, where God talks about this farmer that is looking at his crop and looking at all the things that God has given him, and it's starting to pile up. Because there's so much blessing, there's so much things that are coming in. This guy goes, I don't know where to put all these things that I'm being blessed with. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to knock down my barn that is fully filled to the top. It's at max capacity. I'm going to break that down, and then I'm going to make a bigger barn so I can have more things that I can just store, that I could just put away for a rainy day, that I could just have sitting there in case I need it. I'm going to make more. And instead of God saying, yes, do that, we don't see him do that. We see him actually say, share this. Give this to other people. We want to be people who are blessed for sure, but it's also something that we want to give to others. See, this blessing could be finances. It could be a living space. It could be with a great family. It could be this church, your faith. There are so many things that sometimes we forget about, that we just think we hear the word blessing and we automatically assume finances. There are so many other things that God has given us, that God has blessed us with, that have nothing to do with finances. You could have grown up in an amazing family that just knows how to welcome people in, and maybe one of your neighbors didn't have that kind of home to go to. Maybe they grew up in a broken home, and you can open your doors and say, hey, we'd love just to welcome you in for a meal and enjoy this family. Feel this love. Feel this passion that we have. Something so simple as that. It could be, hey, this church, maybe you don't have a good family and you don't have that example to show others, but man, do I have a family that you are welcomed into at my church? They're all imperfect, just like you. You are welcomed into this place to experience the blessings God has given me that I want to share with you. See, God has us in all these different areas in our lives for a reason. God has us at our workplace for a reason, even if it's just not the best for you right now. It may not be a joy walking into it. It may be a struggle waking up tomorrow morning and saying, man, I got to go face that thing again. I got to go face that person, right? I have a lot of responsibilities and my job is just overwhelming. It's stressful. Maybe the finances, man, my job can't pay everything that I have, or I'm just able to get by. No matter what it is, God has us there for a reason. And if we forget that he has put us there for a moment such as this, and we forget that he calls us salt to go into these areas and enhance it, to make it taste good, to bring the good that is already there, we can lose out on a moment to impact people around us. We can lose out on this idea that we were placed for such a time as this, no matter how dark that situation may be, no matter how dark the world may be, God has put us there to be salt, to be light. Here are some ideas of what it could look like for your work to benefit the world. Just some things, I put a list down to kind of maybe get you thinking a little bit. But here is the first one. Is the way to serve God at work is to further social justice in the world. That's one way. Another is the way to serve God at work is to be personally honest and evangelize to your colleagues. That could be a difficult one, right? The way to serve God at work is just to do skillful, excellent work. To show up, be the best, fill in the blank, whatever your role is, whatever your title is, just show up and just work well. Another one is to create beauty. To work from a Christian motivation to glorify God, seeking to engage and influence culture to the end. That's a good one. This is to say, I'm here to work for the Lord, not for my boss, or not for finances, or not for fill in the blank, but I'm here to work from a Christian motivation. It's to work with a grateful, joyful, gospel-changed heart through all the ups and downs. to do whatever gives you the greatest joy and passion, another way to serve God at work. Here's another one that we all want to say amen to, is to make as much money as you can. Doesn't stop there, hold on. So, you thought I got you there, right? So that you can be as generous as you can. Wow, I'm glad I'm at a church that agrees with that. Praise God, there's not many. But I think that is a really great way that we can show up and serve God at work. In our culture, that's not the norm. It stops at to make as much money as you can, our culture stops there. And we have our big barn houses, plenty of places to store, plenty of toys to buy. Even as we grow up to adults, we still have toys that we love. The second house, you know, the house in another state that maybe we want to move to because things in California are crazy and expensive, right? But God has blessed us in so many different ways. So we don't just go home and live in those blessings and no one around us gets to experience it. But rather for us to enjoy them and say, now I want to share this with others around me. See, I mentioned Jesus earlier, right? And he's always a perfect example for any situation that we're in. It's always a good thing to sit there and say, okay, and I know it sounds cheesy when you think, what would Jesus do? And it sounds, you know, almost elementary. And you're like, man, Alec, I took off that wristband, you know, once I was out of children's ministry. I know what to do now. But I really think it's always a really good thing for us to do, which is to sit there and look at our situation, look at our circumstances and say, how would Jesus show up to this place? And I think sometimes you forget that Jesus was the most blessed that any person could have ever been because he was in heaven with the Father. He was in perfection, in perfect relationship with God the Father that you and I yearn for. But we say, man, I just want to be there already. I want to be in that place where I don't have to experience pain. I don't have to experience sadness. I don't have to experience worry. I don't have to experience all these things on earth that are just so hard to deal with and are so difficult to go into and live out, right? I just want to be in that place already. And Jesus was there before he was even here as a child. And what we see our Lord and Savior do is he leaves that place. He leaves that blessing. It says, I'm going to come down into the darkest of places, and I'm going to be an example. I'm going to show them who my Father is. And if you're finding any discouragement where you're at right now, if it's hard for you to show up and be this example 100% of the time, we have to remember Jesus did it perfectly for us. So we don't have to walk around with that burden and try to show up and always be perfect examples. The only thing we see him do is call us to go out and step out in faith, to attempt to be that light, to attempt to show this generosity that we've been shown. And when we do fall short, when I fall short, we have to remember and reflect that he did it perfectly, and that sin and that error is now casted onto him, and I am forgiven to wake up another day and try it again. So maybe this series has been for you discouraging because all you're hearing is, hey, go out and do this, go out and do that. Rest well so you can go and work hard and all these things. And maybe you're like, I just can't even do that right now. I'm just in a place where that's not possible. There's too much going on around me and showing up. It's just, I don't think I could do that, Pastor Alec, Pastor Ephraim, Pastor fill in the blank, right? I just want to remind you that it's okay if you can't even show up and be these things because we serve a Savior who was and who is these things. And the only thing he calls us out to do is just take a step of faith, and we have to believe and trust that he is going to show up and fill in the parts where we don't do. So I want to remind you before I pray that no matter how dark the world is right now, no matter how dark your situation may be, whether you're the only one trying to pursue God, and it seems like everyone else around you is fighting against that, you were made for a time such as this. You were made for a time such as this. God knows your situation. He knows how difficult it is. He knows how hard it can be for you to show up and do whatever he's called you to do in those areas. But he puts you, he placed you, and he designed you to be in that situation right now for a purpose. And I believe because Scripture tells me, not because I believe, but because this word says that he's placed you there. He's placed you in the exile. He's placed you in that season, in that desert, in that storm, whatever that may be. He's placed you there for such a time as this. And I believe if you and I hold true to that, we cling to our word no matter what's going on around us, we can wake up and go into those places and fight the good fight.